Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today, we're going to be diving into some really fascinating research from the Saul Foundation. You know, their March 2024 white paper, UAP in Crowded Skies, Atmospheric and Orbital Threat Reduction in an Age of Geopolitical Uncertainty. It really caught my eye because it approaches UAP from such a fresh perspective.
Yeah, I think it's really refreshing to see a study that kind of moves beyond the what are they debate. You know, this paper dives straight into like the observable behaviors of UAP, and it really tries to analyze, you know, their potential impact on airspace safety, defense strategies, even international relations.
Yeah, that's right. It's not getting lost in the weeds of what are they, like you were saying.
Right.
They're taking more of a black box approach.
Yeah.
It's asking, regardless of what's inside, what can we understand from how this box behaves?
Yeah.
It's a really pragmatic way to deal with something we just don't fully understand yet.
I kind of think of it almost like studying an animal in the wild. Like, we might not know everything about its biology or evolutionary history, but by carefully observing its behaviors, we can learn a lot about its role in the ecosystem and how to interact with it safely.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I think it really highlights that scientific rigor that this paper brings to the UAP discussion.
Yeah.
And they don't shy away from like outlining some specific UAP behaviors that have been documented across various sources. They talk about, you know, anti-gravity or like sudden ascent and descent, hypersonic speeds, even transmedium travel, which is that ability to move between air, space, and water.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about isolated incidents here.
Exactly, exactly. The paper actually draws on data from at least 12 countries that have active UAP research programs. So it's a global phenomenon. And yet there's this kind of worrying lack of data sharing and collaboration between these programs. You know, imagine the progress we could make if we actually pooled our knowledge and resources.
Yeah, that lack of coordination really stuck out to me as a major point of concern. The paper argues that it's not just hindering scientific progress, but it's also increasing the risks associated with UAP. And one area where this is especially concerning is aviation safety.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the potential for a mid-air collision is very real. You know, remember that 2014 incident where U.S. Navy FA-18s had a near collision with a UAP? I mean, that was a wake-up call. And then you have to think about the issue of pilot distraction, decision-making under pressure, and even the stigma surrounding UAP sightings, which leads to underreporting.
Yeah, and as if the UAP situation wasn't complex enough, we're also dealing with this rapid increase of drones in our skies. The paper actually connects those two issues, showing how the influx of drones further complicates airspace management and creates all these new challenges for existing institutions, like the Chicago Convention and the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO.
Right. The ICAO is tasked with ensuring the safety and efficiency of international air travel, but it's really struggling to adapt to the influx of drones. So it raises some serious questions about its ability to handle the even more unpredictable nature of UAP. It's almost like trying to direct traffic with rules designed for horse-drawn carriages when everyone's suddenly driving flying cars.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. It really drives home the need for a new approach.
Yeah. And to their credit, the authors don't just point out the problems. They offer some very specific actionable recommendations for how institutions like the ICAO could adapt. They propose things like a standardized international UAP reporting system, improved pilot training for UAP encounters, and a system for collaborative investigation and analysis of incidents.
Yeah, those recommendations sound like some practical first steps, especially that standardized reporting system. I think that could really help address the stigma issue.
Yeah.
And it could provide researchers with a much larger and more reliable data set.
Yeah, 100%. And it would also provide a really solid foundation for the kind of international collaboration that's so desperately needed.
Now, you know, it's important to remember that these UAP aren't confined to our atmosphere. They're transmedium, meaning they can operate in space as well. And the paper gets into some really interesting territory when it starts discussing the implications for outer space. And the potential role of the 1967 Outer Space Treaty.
Yeah, that's right. This is where we start to see the paper's more ambitious side, and perhaps even idealistic side. It argues that UAP, instead of being a source of international tension, could actually become a catalyst for greater cooperation, especially in the realm of space exploration. You know, imagine scientists from rival nations working side by side to study these objects.
It's a tantalizing possibility.
Yeah.
But one that faces some very real obstacles. We've already touched on the lack of data sharing. And then there's the inherent challenges of military-to-military cooperation. Things like national security concerns, technological secrecy, even just basic mistrust.
Yeah, the paper doesn't shy away from those challenges. It acknowledges those deeply ingrained habits of secrecy and the competitive nature of international relations, especially when it comes to potential military advantages. It actually lays out several hypothetical scenarios that are, frankly, quite unsettling, but also incredibly plausible given our current geopolitical climate.
Well, I have to admit, reading those scenarios was a bit of an eye-opener for me. The idea that a UAP encounter could be misinterpreted as an act of aggression, leading to escalation and potentially even accidental war. It's not something I had really considered before. It really highlights the need to take this issue seriously and to develop really clear strategies for de-escalation.
Absolutely. It's a sobering reminder that we're dealing with something that could have profound implications for global security. But the paper doesn't end on a note of despair. It proposes a path forward, a way to navigate these complex challenges and potentially even turn them into opportunities. And that's what we'll delve into the next part of our deep dive.
Looking forward to it.
So the paper kind of lays out a framework for international cooperation, one that builds on existing structures, but also kind of pushes for some significant adaptations to address the unique challenges posed by UAP.
So they're advocating for a kind of evolution, not revolution, approach.
Yeah.
Using what we already have, but making it fit for purpose in this new reality.
Exactly. They start by looking at the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, and the Chicago Convention, which essentially govern how planes fly around the world safely.
So they're proposing we kind of tweak those rules to accommodate UAP. I'm curious how they suggest we do that.
Well, they offer some pretty practical recommendations. The first one that stood out to me is the call for a standardized international UAP reporting system.
That seems like a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
Right now, reporting is all over the place, with different procedures and varying levels of stigma attached to coming forward with a sighting.
Precisely. A standardized system would not only encourage more reporting, but it would also create a much richer, more reliable database for analysis. It would help us move from anecdotal evidence to a more scientific understanding of UAP activity.
And it would also address that issue of stigma you mentioned earlier. If there's a clear official channel for reporting UAP sightings,
yeah,
it becomes less taboo, less something people are afraid to talk about.
Exactly. And that leads to their second recommendation, improved pilot training for UAP encounters.
I'm intrigued by what that training might look like. Beyond simply identifying a UAP, what kind of skills would pilots need to handle such an encounter?
Well, it would need to be more than just pointing at something strange in the sky. The training would need to equip pilots with procedures for responding safely and effectively.
So things like specific communication protocols with air traffic control, maneuvers to avoid collisions, and how to gather data without compromising the safety of the flight.
Exactly. It's about turning pilots from passive observers into active data collectors. But of course, that data is only useful if it's shared and analyzed effectively.
Which brings us to the third recommendation, collaborative investigation and analysis of incidents.
Yeah.
No more keeping secrets or trying to solve this puzzle alone.
That's right. The paper calls for a system where UAP incidents are investigated jointly, pooling resources and expertise from multiple countries. This makes sense given the transmedium nature of UAP. What might be detected in one country's airspace could easily end up in another's or even in outer space.
So it's not just about sharing data,
yeah,
but also about collaborating on the analysis and interpretation of that data.
Exactly. The paper really highlights the potential for UAP to actually be a catalyst for greater international cooperation. Imagine scientists from around the world working together, putting aside their national differences to unlock the secrets of these objects. It's a pretty inspiring vision.
It certainly is. But you know, the Outer Space Treaty was written in 1967. Before UAP were really on the radar, how can we realistically adapt a 60-year-old treaty to deal with something so new and complex?
The paper acknowledges that gap and suggests a few pathways. One idea is to create a dedicated UAP working group under the UN Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. This would provide a formal platform for discussing UAP-related issues, sharing data, and potentially even developing new protocols or agreements.
That sounds promising.
Uh-huh.
But we've already talked about the significant obstacles to international cooperation, especially when you factor in national security concerns and the potential for a UAP arms race. How does the paper address those very real anxieties?
It does so by suggesting a multi-pronged approach. One key proposal is establishing a UAP communication protocol, essentially a hotline specifically for UAP encounters.
So if a country detects a UAP,
mm-hmm,
they can quickly communicate with other nations to verify that it's not one of their assets, reducing the risk of misidentification and escalation.
Precisely. It's about building trust and transparency. creating a system where everyone has a vested interest in sharing information and avoiding misunderstandings. They also propose upgrading existing military command and control systems with enhanced UAP discrimination capabilities.
So basically, investing in technology,
yep,
they can quickly and accurately distinguish a UAP from a conventional aircraft or a weapon system.
That's right. It's about reducing the chances of misidentifying a UAP as a hostile threat, which could trigger a chain reaction with potentially catastrophic consequences.
It's about making sure cooler heads prevail, even in a high-pressure situation. It seems like they're really emphasizing a proactive approach to de-escalation.
They are, and they take it a step further by recommending the integration of UAP scenarios into nuclear command exercises. This is about preparing for the unthinkable, making sure that personnel at all levels of the nuclear command structure know how to respond to a UAP encounter with calm and informed decision-making.
It's almost like a fire drill.
Yeah.
But for a potential UAP-triggered crisis, better to be prepared than caught off guard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all of these recommendations are building towards a much more ambitious goal outlined in the paper, a joint UAP study and information exchange program.
Now that sounds like a truly game-changing proposition. Imagine scientists and military experts from around the world pooling their resources and expertise to study UAP together.
It would be a massive shift from the current situation, where most research is being done in isolation behind closed doors. This program could unlock a wealth of knowledge, leading to breakthroughs in our understanding of these objects.
It's a bold vision, but one that faces some obvious challenges. Can we realistically expect nations to set aside their historical rivalries and work together on something as sensitive as UAP research?
The paper acknowledges those challenges, but it also argues that the potential benefits are too great to ignore.
You're talking about the potential to prevent conflict, to advance scientific knowledge,
yeah,
and maybe even to discover something truly revolutionary about our place in the universe.
Exactly. And they propose a way to get there by starting small and building trust gradually. That's where the concept of neofunctionalism comes in.
You mentioned that earlier. Can you remind us what that is?
Neofunctionalism is the idea that cooperation in one area can spill over into others, creating a kind of domino effect of collaboration. The paper suggests that by starting with a supranational UAP research and study organization, we could create a space where scientists and experts can work together without the baggage of national politics.
So it's about creating a neutral ground, a space where the focus is on science and discovery, not on national agendas.
Exactly. And as that collaboration bears fruit, as we start to make real progress in understanding UAP, it could foster a sense of shared purpose that spills over into other areas of international relations.
It's like building a bridge of trust, one scientific discovery at a time. Tell me more about this supranational research organization. How would it actually function in the real world?
Well, the paper lays out a pretty comprehensive vision. Imagine an organization that brings together the top minds in UAP research from around the globe. You know, astrophysicists, aerospace engineers, data analysts, even pilots who've had encounters, all collaborating under one roof.
It's like the scientific Avengers assembling to tackle the UAP mystery. I'm picturing a sleek, high-tech facility with labs, maybe even a flight simulator for recreating encounters.
Yeah, I think you're getting the right idea. And the beauty of it being supranational is that it wouldn't be beholden to any one government's agenda. Transparency and scientific rigor, those would be the guiding principles.
That's critical, especially given how much distrust there is around UAP information.
Yeah.
Coming from official sources, people want independent verification and analysis.
Exactly. This organization could be that neutral ground, that trusted source of information. One of its primary functions would be to act as a global hub for all UAP data.
So no more countries hoarding their own little collections of reports and radar readings. It would be a truly shared database, accessible to researchers from all participating nations.
That's right. A one-stop shop for everything UAP related. Think about the possibilities for analysis and pattern recognition with that kind of consolidated data. It would completely transform our understanding of UAP activity.
It would also allow for much more robust peer review and cross-checking of findings. No more relying on leaked documents or grainy videos for evidence.
Right. And it wouldn't just be about analyzing existing data. This organization would conduct its own original research, bringing together multidisciplinary teams to tackle the big questions.
Like, what are these things actually made of? How do they achieve those incredible feats of maneuverability? Where are they coming from? It would be science in action. and on a global scale.
Exactly. And because this research would be carried out by a respected international body, it would be much harder for skeptics to dismiss it as fringe science or government propaganda.
It would lend a level of legitimacy to UAP studies that's been sorely lacking. But let's be realistic. Getting nations to cooperate on this level?
Yeah.
Especially when you factor in potential military applications. It feels like a long shot.
It won't be easy. There will be hurdles, trust issues, and concerns about sharing sensitive technology. But the paper makes a compelling argument that the potential benefits of collaboration far outweigh the risks.
We're talking about potentially preventing conflicts, advancing science in a way that could benefit all of humanity, and maybe even answering some fundamental questions about our place in the cosmos.
Exactly. And they remind us that this journey towards greater cooperation, it doesn't have to start with grand gestures. The neo-functionalist approach suggests building momentum gradually, starting with areas where there's already some common ground.
So what can our listeners do to support this kind of initiative? I'm sure many of them are feeling inspired by what we've discussed today.
Well, I think the first step is awareness. Talk about UAP with your friends. Share this podcast. Engage in thoughtful discussion online. The more we normalize this topic, the easier it becomes to have those important conversations about research and policy.
We can also support organizations like the Saul Foundation that are doing the groundwork, pushing for transparency and advocating for a more scientific approach to UAP.
Absolutely. And we can encourage scientists, engineers, data analysts, anyone with relevant skills to get involved. The more brain power we dedicate to this challenge, the faster we'll unlock its secrets.
You know, this deep dive has really highlighted for me the urgency of the UAP issue. Mm-hmm. It's not just about blurry videos and speculation anymore. It's about aviation safety, international security, and the future of scientific inquiry.
It really is. And the paper we discussed today, it offers a roadmap, a way to move beyond fear and secrecy towards a more cooperative and enlightened approach to UAP. It's a call to action for all of us.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of the UAP Research Deep Dive. A big thank you to our expert for joining us today and sharing your insights.
It's been my pleasure. Let's keep those conversations going. Keep asking those tough questions. And keep looking up. You never know what we might discover together.